Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet.
All my boys, stand up.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong. We strong. We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Come on, Nick. Take just a little time off. You're going to New York for the draft, aren't you? That's taking time off. Take a minute off, can't you? Hour number two. I thank Corey Chavis for anchoring hour number one. And we had our schedule kind of open up and kind of switch some things around and whatnot between today and tomorrow. And with Adrian Peterson heading for the New Orleans Saints, thought, you know what, let's get John Forcade in here and get his take on that, and the fact that, LSU is going to have to run the single wing because they don't have a quarterback again. John, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Tom. How are you today, man? That's twice in a week, this chat, huh?
I mean, it is kind of twice in a week. Well, John joins us every week, once a week in the fall. He's one of our football correspondents in the fall. So, you know, why not this week when we got the draft and the spring games and everything else? So what do you think, LSU just line up in the single wing and snap it directly to Geis and let him run around or what? Because, man, they still don't have a quarterback. And the one they got, you know, had to have back surgery. You know something about that.
Yeah, let me just say this much. They're in deep trouble. I said this all along. They still don't have a quality quarterback. They can sing all them song and dances. They want to go out there and let people believe this, but they got a good offensive line, good running game, a good receiver. Don't have a quarterback. Haven't had a quarterback in years. And let's be honest, until LSU gets a solid quarterback, they're going to still look at it a 9-3, 8-4, you know, type team.
If Darius Geis was on the Saints right now, and they had Darius Geis and Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson, who would be the best back in 2017?
Well, let me put it this way. It depends on what style of offense you want to use. If it's the offense that the Saints have used in the last 10 years, Geis is the guy to go to. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He can hit the corner quicker than these other two guys. Peterson is in between the tackle type guy. He's got 10 years under his belt. Mark Ingram, man, he better flip a coin. You know what game, what day, what he's going to show up and do for you. I like Geis in the long run. Definitely my type of running back now. When you bring that up, you know, the Saints signed Adrian Peterson for a two-year deal, and I don't know what's going to happen with this. We're all shaking our heads down here wanting to know. Basically, what you did was you got two Mark Ingrams in the backfield, one's younger and one's older.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand is that there's a lot of things the Saints need, but running back wasn't one of them. Didn't they just do a deal with Ingram? And if you're Ingram, you got to be saying, what the hell's going on here? Because, you know, obviously they're going to use, you know, Adrian Peterson for something, but it seems odd. I mean, look, these guys never, very, very rare do these guys move and do anything, you know, when they, at the end of their career. This is like Emmitt Smith going to the Cardinals or Tony Dorsett going to the Broncos, maybe. But, I guess I can't figure out what the move is here, what the play is.
My whole take on this whole deal is just the fact they got Adrian Peterson. They're, you know, big name, celebrity type running back. He's been around, a very good running back. And I love what some of the people down here are saying, oh, man, he's got so much left in him. I said, wait a minute, so much left in him. How do you know? He came off of a doggone pretty serious knee injury last year, didn't play at all the last 15 games of the season. What do you think he's going to bring to the table? Nothing right now until he comes in here and proves it. But they signed him, and I'm thinking, why did they sign him? Is it because they want to draw more people to the stands? The people, they sell him out every week. They don't care who they bring in. He's at the end of his career. It's sort of like when they signed C.J. Spiller. I said, okay, that's a good signing. They bring him in here. Don't even use him correctly. What are you going to do with Peterson? He can't catch the football. He's not known to catch the football. He can't get outside. He's done it at speed. He's inside the tackle runner. Don't you have that with Mark Ingram, who you signed an extension a couple of years ago? If I'm Mark Ingram, I'm saying, hey, guys, what's going on there? You want me to be traded? Let's get the trade going.
Yeah. I mean, since Peterson had the 2,000-yard season, almost 2,100 yards in 2012, his follow-up year to that, he had 1,266 yards in 14 games. Then, of course, he misses the entire season, and then he comes, you know, with the hitting your kid with a switch thing. He came back in 2015 with a 1,485-yard year, 4.5 yards per carry, but got hurt again last year and only played three games last year and had 72 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems to be you take a running back that is 30, 31 years old, 32 years old already, and then you put him, you know, two injuries later. I just don't see that there's much there. Not that they spent a lot of money on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's guaranteed $3.5 million this year. They say it's not a lot. 2-year deal. I mean, I think he's one and done. They'll play him this year. Don't use him, whatever. And say, okay, you know, we don't pick up your option for 2018. But the fact is, Ingram played pretty doggone good the last couple of seasons. Now, with all that being said, Tom, we're not even talking about the offensive line here. This ain't the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. This is an average, at best, offensive line. I'd put them in the same line category as Minnesota had last year. They ain't the greatest run-blocking line out there. They got guard trouble and maybe one tackle problem. They're struggling up front, so I don't see them really exploding. They ain't got to change the offense and say, now we want to be a Dallas Cowboy running attack game and let Drew throw 25 times a game. Drew's going to throw his 35 to 40 times a game. Let's put that down in writing.
You know, it's interesting because most of the story, well, the story, one of the main stories that I read regarding this move was that Adrian Peterson moves to the Saints where he'll run behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So you don't feel that this is one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Tom, they're looking for guards. They need guard help right now. And they got a good center and one left tackle. Streep, their right tackle, he's on his way out. He's been long enough in there. He's not the answer anymore there. They got Evans at right guard. Right guard has been around since Moses, and he's declining pretty big. They had to bring him back last year. Left guard's an issue, and left tackle, Armstead, he's been hurt on and off for 2 years, even though they gave him a big contract. What's going to happen with the offensive line? That's the main key. They're talking about down here that they need in draft right now. They better find some guards and maybe another tackle. This is not a good offensive line. This is an average offensive line.
I just asked Corey Chavis from Draft Nasty, and you remember Corey from his time with the Vikings, who the first quarterback taken off the board will be. He thinks it should be Deshaun Watson. He's not sure it will be. Who do you think is the first quarterback that gets his name called on Thursday?
I think the kid from North Carolina,
Trubisky.
Trubisky. Yeah, I think Trubisky is going to be the first guy to go. Just because I think he's got more of an upside, the fact that he has been a better passer that they say. Now, I'm not saying he is better than Watson. I just say that what the NFL thinks is he's more polished as a passer, pro-style passer, than what Watson is. Watson has had issues with his accuracy. Granted, he's played well in two big games last year against Alabama, but can he do it in a pro-style offense where he can sit in the pocket a little bit more? He's not really a great runner, but he's a good runner. But his accuracy is their issue. Now, do I think he'll get drafted in the first round? Somebody will take a shot at it. But I think Trubisky from North Carolina will be the first cornerback pick.
I'm looking at the Saints picks, according to the experts at CBSSports.com. Marshawn Lattimore to corner out of Ohio State. Marlon Humphrey to corner out of Alabama. Derek Barnett, the defensive end out of Tennessee. Gurion Conley, who's going to fall right out of this draft, possibly. He just got accused of rape in Cleveland, and it might be like Lyle Collins. You know, if they can't get this figured out real quick, he might fall right out of the draft. But they've got him there. Taco Charlton, the defensive end out of Michigan, and Reuben Foster, the linebacker from Alabama. If Reuben Foster is still on the board, are you bothered by this whole issue of a diluted sample at the at the combine where he says he had the flu and he was drinking tons of liquids, tons of water, and it diluted his sample. Are you concerned at all about that?
Let's go back and look at this, Tom. You know as well as I do, the NFL lets well, I'm going to say let's, but they have a lot of players on their roster. We all know what diluted means when it comes to taking your drug test, and we all know what it's about. It's basically you're smoking weed and you're trying to clear yourself up there. That's the whole case this year. I don't think the Saints go after him, not for the fact of the issue with the combine and diluted water. I think the Saints don't need a middle linebacker who can play the middle and blitz. That's not where they're getting their sacks from. They need a pass rusher. They got a chance to draft number 11. Go at the kid from Tennessee, Barrett. You better go get him. You need a pass rusher first. And then your 32nd pick, you get yourself a cornerback. That's what you go after. They don't need a middle linebacker who can cover, who can play the middle, because you can find guys to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. Foster had a great college career at Alabama playing against college football where he blitzes a lot. He does his thing, and that's how he gets his sack. But the way it is in the NFL, there's not too many middle linebackers, anybody in the front, in the middle, getting a lot of sacks. If the Saints want sack pressure, they need to go from the outside. I think that's where they go after the kid from Tennessee. I like the kid from Tennessee, and then draft a defensive back as a 32nd spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's there. I don't know that Derek Barnett will be there. I mean, his stock has risen so fast, you know, and everybody, you got to have two things, a quarterback and a guy to get after the quarterback. I'm not sure anymore. I'm starting to get the feeling that Derek Barnett's going to be a top 10 pick.
Well, if he is a top 10 pick, you can't tell me right now that they got about, I think they got about good 10, 11 defensive linemen that could play in the league right now. You know, they're going to be a lot. It's a big draft for defensive linemen and cornerbacks. So I think you can find a defensive pass rusher, you know, at number 11. And then you look at the DBs, they're going to, you know, they're going to be there between the first round and early second round. Don't forget the defensive back kid from Southern Cal, who's pretty doggone. I think his name is Jackson.
Yeah, Dory Jackson. Yeah, Dory Jackson.
He's a kid that's on, yeah, that's on their radar screen here. But the Saints have got to find, there's enough pass rushers that they think the Saints at number 11 can pick those guys.
Could you see the Saints take the 32 and the 11 and slide up to, you know, 5 or 4 or something like that to get the guy they want?
Wow, that's been mentioned. That's been talked about. Do I see it happening? You know, they'd have to definitely have a need for somebody who they think that's going to be gone at a certain spot to move that up. I say keep them, both 11 and 32, and you'll find your defensive pass rush specialist as well as a cornerback at those two numbers.
Yeah. All right, John, I'm glad we could double dip on you there and grab you. I appreciate you being available. So you're not a huge fan of Adrian Peterson to the Saints, and it's not a game changer for the Saints, right? The Saints didn't just go from a 7-win team to a 10-win team or something.
No, not with him, because he's going to split time with Ingram, and so basically you're basically getting two different guys in there. We needed a guy in the backfield who can be like the Darren Sproles was here a couple of years ago, or Reggie Bush, a guy who can catch the football, do things with the slot position. I don't see Adrian Peterson doing that at all, and Mark Ingram can't do it either. So basically you just got two running backs that are identical twins in the backfield. I like Adrian Peterson, but he's 10 years and an injury. It's a long time away from being a superstar. And like you said, end of career, these guys go off to pasture. That's about what happens.
By the way, when did you first start hearing about Adrian Peterson to the Saints? A week ago. Okay, because this is
about a week ago.
Yeah, this is my theory that this was done last week. Because I'm just going to say this about that. The NFL schedule came out on Thursday, and Monday Night Football starts with the Saints at the Vikings. Are you kidding me? I think this deal was done a week ago.
It could have been done. It's just they probably had to iron out a few little knick-knack things there. I guarantee you. I mean, it wasn't done today or yesterday. It had to be done. Normally they don't. When they sign someone, they'll wait three or four days and let the thing settle down, get the dots crossed and the I's dotted, the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But in this situation, all of a sudden now you got, whoa, Minnesota Vikings at home playing against the New Orleans Saints Monday Night Football. Adrian Peterson coming back to town. Wow! All of a sudden that happens.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, man. Appreciate you as always. Good stuff, and I'll probably leave you. I probably won't talk to you until May 22nd at the alumni event. Right. But who knows? If something dramatic happens, we might have to hook up with you.
Well, you might call me after the draft. You never know.
I might call you after the draft.
Buddy.
You never know. All right, man.
Hi,
appreciate
Tom.
You.
Thanks, bud.
All right. John Forcade, former quarterback for the Saints. Of course, before that, Ole Miss. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, Tim Pacman joins us. Big story today. Dale Earnhardt Jr. announces his retirement at the end of the season. What does that mean for NASCAR going forward, having lost, not only now Junior, but Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Who's next? Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson. Those guys are in their 40s too. I mean, who's next? We'll talk about all of that with Tim Pakman right after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Pretty big news for the Minnesota Vikings, adding Adrian Peterson, a perennial 1,000-yard rusher, to their club. They have another 1,000-yard rusher in-house in Mark Ingram, but I think the time may have come for us to get away from the 1,000-yard running back in a season as the benchmark of a good or great back in the NFL. Since the season's gone to 16 games, it's not quite as difficult. 12 running backs rushed for 1,000 yards a season ago. Only two averaged 100 yards per game. Two. Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell. Mark Ingram was a 1,000-yard rusher. He averaged 65 yards per game. Bottom line is, with the extended season, rushing for 1,000 yards ain't what it used to be. It's time to up the benchmark a little bit for NFL running backs and what makes them great.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on the UMP. Here's what you'll hear tonight on the UMP.
The Atlanta Braves try to turn their luck around at the same place they started the season 1-2. It's Braves Mets at Citi Field. Coverage starts at 5:55 p.m. all right here on the UMP.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Stop into Lowe's where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Grow a happy and healthy lawn with 20% off all Stay Green fertilizer and grass seed. Plus, get cooking with 25% off all Charbroil Commercial and Signature Series gas grills. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Stay Green offer valid 426 through 58. Grill offer valid 426 through 51. Selection varies by location while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Tonight, the voice is live, and the fate of the Final 12 is in your hands.
So use those hands to grab your apps, vote live, and let your voice be heard, America.
Okay, who is going to get your instant save and make it to the top 11?
You know what? I want them all to stay.
Then after The Voice, it is a new comedy from Tina Fey and Robert Carlock.
Two of the very funny minds behind 30 Rock.
And they are putting those minds to good use. Mm-hmm. It is the premiere of Great News tonight, right after The Voice, live on
NBC.
That's one way to say it.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors. Mm-hmm. And shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Brought to you by Kubota. He's the neighbor with the RN Zero Turn. He mows, maintains, shapes, and perfects. He takes pride in himself and this place he calls home. This is why he does it. Kubota. Find your local Kubota dealer at alabamakubotadealers.com.
A good supply of sunshine today. Noticeably warmer this afternoon, the high around 80. For tonight, mostly fair with the low at 57. Tomorrow, we stay warm and dry with a sunny sky, the high 85. Thursday, becoming mostly cloudy, showers and strong thunderstorms are likely, the high 77. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Back in the day, before Dale Earnhardt Jr. did a show called Back in the Day, Tim Pakman worked at DEI, and Jr. had an office right down the hall from Pak, and he's been very close, Pak has, to the Earnhardt family for years in terms of following him and then also working for DEI, and so he has a really good sense of what is going on here. This did not come as a huge surprise to him, I am sure, that Dale Earnhardt announced today that he will retire at the end of the season. He joins us now, not Dale Earnhardt Jr., but Tim Pakman, on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Pak, welcome in. How are you, man?
Yeah, that big buildup. Your fans must have been getting excited, and then they stuck with me.
Yeah, they thought it was Earnhardt Jr., but no, it's not. We actually opened the show with him because he was on doing his press conference right when we started, and I went ahead and potted it up, and we listened to it for a little bit. He was pretty good, and it sounded like he was like, you know what? It sounds like he didn't even give a crap about racing anymore. He just wanted to go out on his own terms, and he was going to call the shot. He didn't want to go out injured. Do you get the sense that that's the deal?
That's exactly what he wanted to do. After what he went through last year, and he had a couple other, you know, hit his noggin a couple other times, I told you earlier, I said, I could tell I knew something was up because he has been more involved with social media. He's been more involved with fan interaction appearances, things that he didn't do years ago, like the last year or so. He's ramped it up, and, like, he's become more involved. And part of that, I think, is because the more involved, the more you're out there, the less people want to get in touch with you. But the more reclusive you are, the more people want to bring you out of it. But he has, like I said, he has nothing to prove. He's won his races. He's won his Xfinity championships. He's won his Daytona 500s. He's a successful business owner. He's a successful car owner. He's the face of many products and everything, and he has nothing to prove to anybody. He's married now. He's 42. He's going to go out on his own time and his own way.
Yeah, 43. We'll talk about what that means to NASCAR in general. But here was my first reaction. I like you, was not surprised because we called this. I mean, before the season, I said he's going to decide. He's going to have to make a decision and let them know because he's, you know, not under contract for next year, and so that they can start making the plan. And we'll talk about the plan too in a minute. But my first reaction, this is weird. My first reaction was that damn Teresa Earnhardt screwed up DEI, and I'm pissed off that Dale, Kelly, and Carrie aren't running DEI because he would be a great owner for the rest of his life, and there's no DEI. Now, 5 years from now, is he a broadcaster? Is Junior Motorsports have cars running in the Cup Series? What is Dale Earnhardt Jr. doing 5 years from now?
I think in 5 years, there'll be Dale Jr. running around somewhere. I think he'll still own the teams. I don't see him going away from that. That's been very successful. And I think you might see him doing a little bit of media stuff here and there. But he might just kind of just kick back and not be so busy and obligated to everything. He's like, here you go. And I give him credit because he's doing it now. So back with that question, you're signing your contract, you're signing your contract, that's out of the bag. That's over with. Now he can just go relax, run his last year and say, well, here we go, kids, and this is it. And I actually was relieved when I first heard it. I go, oh, good for him. That was the first thing I thought. So, and now who replaces him? I don't know if they announced that yet. But
no.
If you look at the standings lately, the finishes of races, here's the names that are running the top 10. Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, just to name a few guys. The quote-unquote replacements or the next superstars, they've been chomping at the bit to make their name known in the sport.
Well, I would say the first phone call goes to Carl Edwards, and you just say, are you sure?
No.
I think you have to make the phone call.
No.
You got to say, are you sure? You don't think so?
No, because you build a brand, you get a sponsor, you build a brand, and 2 years, you go, I'm going to go back to being retired. You get some hungry young kid, and you build your program around him.
Then that's going to be Alex Bowman, I think. I think they really liked what Alex Bowman did in that car last year, and I think Alex Bowman will get that shot, I think.
Well,
what do you think?
we will find out. But whoever it is, he's not filling big shoes. He's just taking over a ride. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Just like that kid riding around in the three car right now. There are a lot of things that could happen still, obviously. It doesn't matter that he's 24th in the standings. He wins a race. He's in the chase. Then has a hot month and 2 months. Who knows? I mean, if there was any way, like with Jeff Gordon, to get him to Homestead in the Final Four, I mean, how cool would that be, right? That'd be the story. That would be what it would bring back and then kill NASCAR altogether.
Well, like someone said earlier, Dale Jr. broke the internet today. Well, pretty much did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. But yeah, if they could do that, that'd be great. If not, then so be it, you know. And I just kind of look at the whole thing like he's pretty content now, and you can tell. Like after races, he does after every race, he does a Periscope Live, and he talks about his race. So you know what that eliminates? Everybody having to reach out, going, "Hey, can we get Dale on? Can we get Dale on? Can we get Dale on?" There you go. It's all right there. Everything you need, I just said right there.
If he's
connecting with the fans, he's reaching out and being more accessible. That's how I kind of knew that he was thinking about doing this.
Have you seen him fill in and do some like the Xfinity race and stuff? I think he's pretty damn good in the booth, and I would not be surprised if NBC. You know, got that second half of the season, doesn't reach out to him for next year because there's no room in the Fox booth unless Darrell Waltrip is ready to check out.
I was just going to say, can we trade a Darrell for a Dale?
If we could go down, can you imagine? See, the thing about Junior, too, is that you'll know, like Benny Parsons, like some of the other guys back in the day, you will know, Larry McReynolds, you'll know who's talking. You know, that's the one thing that's different because sometimes you get these guys now and you can't tell who the heck they are. You know, who's talking? They all sound the same. But if you get the kid from North Carolina in there, you'll know who's talking. But he'll be able to name his price if he wants to go down that path.
And also he'll be able to say things and kind of get away with it a little bit that maybe some other guy wouldn't. You know, if you or I went and did, they're like, oh, yeah, don't be saying stuff like that. Oh, that's Dale Jr., man. We got him on it. Everybody's watching him. So have some fun with it. But, yeah,
fans might vote him the most popular driver next year in 2018 still because it'll be 15 in a row this year. He needs one more to tie Elliott. They might say, well, he does drive. You know, he drives to the track and stuff. So we'll make him the most popular driver one more time. Could be.
That's fine.
Maybe not. Like I said, I thought he was good. Tim Packman with us used to work at DEI, and so he knows the family and knows what's going on here. The legacy, you say Dale Jr. By the way, will Dale Jr. Jr., would he be Ralph too? I mean, a lot of people don't know. Dale's name is Ralph.
Dale
is Ralph.
Dale Earnhardt,
they're all Ralph.
Dale Earnhardt too.
Right, they're all Ralph. So so little Dale will be Ralph the Third or whatever. How much exposure does I mean, what's up with the little Earnhardt kid? Jeffrey, does he got any talent or what? I mean, can he finish a race?
He's out there. He's out there. He hasn't had like the best of equipment, and he had some rough spots when he was younger. And he's, matured a little bit. And now he's out there running around. I don't know what happened.
Not good enough though to get that.
My pulse on that kid.
Not good enough to get that kind of a ride though. Probably right. I mean, they're going to go with a hot shot. All right. So where are we with the sport? Because now this is the new normal. We go back to back to back. We lose Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., Carl Edwards is over there. That's kind of a different thing. But this is the deal now. You race for 17, 18, 19 years. You're 42, 43 years old. I checked the ages. Kevin Harvick's 41. Jimmy Johnson's 41. If Jimmy Johnson wins the championship this year and wins eight and gets to eight, does Jimmy Johnson even hang around? Or does he go out the window?
That's something you got to realize you have to think about. But let's go back to other sports. Let's see. Gordie Howe, he retired. Sport went on. Let's see, Roger Staubach retired. The sport went on. Pete Rose retired. Well, he didn't really retire. Johnny Bench, just named some big baseball players. The sport goes on, and all people do is they take their attention and like, okay, well, I still like what's going on, but now I'm going to follow that guy right there. So watch NASCAR start to push these younger drivers and get them more in everybody's face, more exposure for them. Because now people are, in the millennials, they're going to latch on to that guy and go, man, I can identify with him, you know. And that's, I just went to my prom. I'm going to my prom. He went to his 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They're going to latch on to that and they're going to find a new driver.
The thing is, though, this is like losing Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, name the guy, right all on top of each other. I mean, you know, it's such a personality driven sport, you know, and losing these guys like this. Who do you think, though? See, I like Chase Elliott as being that guy, possibly. I mean, who do you think, Austin Dillon, who could be a guy that you think that people hang their hand? Because unfortunately, too many people, they don't like Keselowski. They don't like Logano. I like Logano. They don't like Logano. And they sure as hell don't like Kyle Busch. I mean, who is the guy? They got to be somebody that we like. Who can we like?
Well, there's never really been one single driver since we lost Dale Sr. that has had that charisma and command. I mean, Dale Jr. did by default, but the years he could have been voicing his opinion about things, he just kind of, you know, laid back. And we did voice his opinion, you know, like the last couple of years more than anything. But it's going to be that guy that steps up and says, hey, you're a jerk, and I'm going to pummel you, and I'm going to dump you. And that's what people are going to go, yeah, he stuck up for himself, and that's what people like. So that's going to be the guy who wins races and is you know, humble about it and isn't like a jerk about the whole thing. Those are the ones that people are going to reach out to and say, that's my guy.
Yeah, I think
a lot of Jeff Gordon fans kept the 24. They just changed the name on a lot of the stuff.
He's a likable kid, and that's a good looking car, man. That Napa 24. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they ran last week. They ran that looked like, I thought it was a Hooters car. To be honest with you, it was something else. It was in orange and whatever. But that's a good looking car. The kid is a hot foot. I'll tell you what, we had Kyle Larson on last week and he was great, man. And that kid
awesome.
There has got stones. Yeah. I mean, he's the size of, you know, like, you know, he's like a jockey. I mean, he's a little person. Yeah. He's a little guy, but, that's a guy to kind of get wrap around a little bit. He's a hard charger. That's what I think people want. They want people who are pissed off to finish second.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm okay with Logano.
Day points wise, I finished fifth. No, I don't want you to finish fifth. I want you to win.
Yeah, that top five mentality, that's got to go away. We don't care about top tens and top fives. We want a guy to go out there and win. While I got you, I don't know how much of Bristol you watch, but what did you think of the goo they put on the track? The goo. Do you do that at Lancaster? I mean, the goo worked nice. I mean, that was good, right? That was the best non-plate race of the year.
We put it on the. It's a 5/8 mile asphalt track here in Buffalo. We put it on the second groove, middle of the first groove, up on the second, so the outside corner picks up, outside groove picks up a little more speed. So when they did it on the bottom, people were like, "Oh man, it's on the bottom." Well, it did that, and what they found was the top groove worked just as well. And there's a lot of racing going on up there.
Do you think it would work on these cookie cutter mile and a halfs that have 19 degrees of banking?
Too big.
Because they got to figure out how to fix that.
Useless.
They got to figure out what to do with that. They're gonna put the plates on for Indianapolis, from what I understand. I mean, there'll be another plate race. I mean, look, Indy is. I mean, that thing that jumped the shark about 2 years after they did it. It was like, okay, that's cool. That's the least racy track. They're all not racy, but you know, they got to do something for Pocono or anything. All right, so if Tim Pakman from Lancaster Speedway calls up Junior and says, "Hey, buddy, old buddy of mine, we want to honor you down here. What are you doing in 2018, May of 2018? You come to the track, we'll honor you. We'll have a Dale Earnhardt Jr. night." Does he respond to you? Does he call you back or what?
I already jokingly put on Facebook today that I said we have a Cran on Bev Knapp agreement to have him drive the pace car, and then I offered him anytime he wants to come up and, you know, try a wing, go take Amy to the falls. Try one of our craft beers. You're more than welcome. So,
you know, Amy to the falls.
We might let you drive the pace car. So I kind of threw that out there already. But would he respond? You know, probably not.
I'm looking. Amy to the falls. Well, it's, you can't offer him money. It's got to be something cool.
No.
Because
he's got the money.
Yeah, he's got more money than anybody could ever spend. I think he was retiring. I think he thought he could retire now before he has to get in that Philadelphia Eagles car at Pocono. That guy has got to be throwing up at it. If he doesn't put that, if I were him.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are listening and don't know why we're talking about Dale Jr., how big a Skins fan is he? You knew him. You had an office down the hall from him. He's a huge Skins fan, right? And Daddy was a big Skins fan, too, from what I understand. So he's a big Skins fan.
Well, because back in the day, that was the two teams you had in Charlotte area were those Redskins and the Falcons. That's all you had before the Panthers showed up.
Well, for years, I mean, the Skins were the South's team, you know, before the Falcons, 67. Anyway, my prediction is that he puts that car in the wall at Pocono on like the third lap, just to wreck the car. Come on, just wreck that damn car! I can't believe he's gonna drive an Eagles car.
Watch you win the darn thing.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be crazy.
Be the best.
You know, I was looking at his numbers. 2004, man, 29 years old, won six races, $9 million. Didn't it feel like he'd win three championships, you know, in his career at that point?
We were leading the points after – I was still with him at the time. Started the year with the Daytona 500. We were leading the points after we won at Talladega. He get out. He dropped the curse word, began with an S. They hit him with 25 points. It changed everything. And then he goes to Atlanta, and he's racing a young Carl Edwards on the final five laps, running top five, and that's where it all went away right there.
That was a terrible fine.
Number on there. He had nothing else, and we were like, why were you racing him?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was a terrible, terrible fine, too, because it was, I mean, if you wanted to take some money away from him, find it. Guy, the dude just got out of the car, for God's sakes. He dropped the S word.
I never forget
that. And then the last 2 years before he leaves and goes to Hendrick in 07, last 2 years with you guys when you were DEI, he just wins one race each of those 2 years. What happened in 05 and 06 that they only won once?
On the game? Oh, 05 and 06? Well, I don't know. It just changed a little bit. The cars were starting to change how they were doing things in that and the technology and everything. But 04 was, and DEI was starting to make it slide out. And 06 is when he said, I'm out of here.
Right.
Or 07 is when he said, I'm out of here after this year. And that's when the whole thing just went completely. So
I thought 07 was the first year.
That's when DEI hit the iceberg, if you know what I mean.
Right. I thought that was the first year with Hendrick, 07. Maybe it was 08. 08 was the first year with Hendrick? Maybe it was 08. All right. One of those years. Anyway. All right. Well, I thought we'd grab you in because you're the closest guy. Yeah, you're the guy I know that's closest to
him.
I'm happy for him too. You know what? And this is the other thing. The first thing I had was damn Teresa Earnhardt. That was my first feeling. Was damn Teresa Earnhardt. And my second feeling was, and this is terrible that I thought this. First of all, it was as I watched him saying it. I said, "Boy, his daddy never got to say that. Never got to announce his retirement and have this victory."
Don't think that weighs over him.
Yeah, but my next thought was, I wish he was. If he's going to do it, I wish he was just walking away right now. Because to me, 20 races to go, I just hope he doesn't get hurt. I'm just saying. I just hope he doesn't get hurt.
The pressure's off, so that's good.
I know. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. That's all I'm saying, because this is a dangerous thing, and I'd hate to see him announce it and then get hurt, and that would be bad. So that was how
I
felt.
We'll see, Tom. We'll see.
I don't want the kid to get hurt. Come on, man. Jeez. All right, man. Good stuff. Have a good day. Are you running yet up there? I mean, is there snow off the track yet, or you plow? You got to plow the track, or what?
No, we started last week.
Okay.
We started last week with the oval track and the drag start this week and our big modified show on Saturday.
I was thinking about you. We had some kind of a winter festival deal at the Winchester Speedway, which is literally a mile and a half from my house. I listen to that music, and everybody else say, "What's that noise?" I know that's music is what that is. I sit in my yard and listen to that music every Saturday night now. But in February, they had the winter festival or whatever. And I thought about you. I said, Pack ought to do is have a deal where they get the guys out there with the 4x4 power wagons and a snowplow on the front of it and race the snowplows in February in Buffalo. How about that? That was a snowplow race.
Let me think about that one.
No. Oh, you're still thinking about it? I thought by now you'd made a decision.
No, yeah,
you hadn't shot it down yet? Oh, okay.
No.
You gave it 10 seconds. Okay. I mean, you gave it 10 seconds. That's good. All right, man. Appreciate you. We'll be in touch throughout the summer, I'm sure.
You got it, man. You got to get in touch with me. Thanks. Appreciate
you. All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Tim Pacman. All right. The Tim Pacman story. For those of you that are great on Washed or maybe new to the show or maybe new producing the show. Pack and I meet each other in 1998. I meet Pack. I'm my first year in the business. All right. My first year full time show doing middays on 1040 WYSL in Rochester, New York. And Pack is the track announcer at the Perry Speedway. And I get invited down there to do a remote for something for the Perry Speedway in Perry, New York. Real good grassroots racing in upstate New York. Yeah, I know you guys are thinking, New York racing? What are you talking about? All you do is run from the cops. No. You don't understand. The part of New York I'm from is it looks just like North Alabama. It looks like the Tennessee Valley, except for there's snow on the ground until May. All right. So I get invited down there, do a remote. I do a remote down there. I meet Pack. One thing leads to another, and we decide together. He was the track announcer. And we decide to do a show called Race Night, which we do for the next 2 years or so before I leave New York for the final time. I had left New York in 1980. I left New York again in 2001. So for the next two or three years, we do a show called Race Night. And I end up leaving and go to Florida. Well, next thing you know, Pack ends up leaving and goes to NASCAR.com and becomes a writer and a correspondent for NASCAR.com. Well, from there, he gets hired by DEI to develop the websites for DEI and to handle everything else having to do with Dale Earnhardt. After Earnhardt died in 2001, they would have big birthday celebrations and all this other kind of stuff. So he becomes the director of communications and web development for DEI. And he stays there for 5 years, all through this glory time of Junior. And him and Junior have offices right next to each other in the hall there, and that's how he gets to be buddies with those guys. Then from there, he leaves and ends up at another racing team, and then ends up at Richard Childress Racing. And he had been at Richard Childress Racing for the last 4 or 5 years as the director of communications for Richard Childress Racing, okay? Which, of course, was Earnhardt and all of that stuff back in the glory days. So from there, 2 years ago, he gets the opportunity. He wants to slow down, stop traveling. He's married, got a kid, and all that stuff. He gets the opportunity to become the general manager and de facto owner of Lancaster Speedway, which is back home for him in Buffalo, New York. Big Buffalo guy. So he goes home, and he's probably, I want to say Pack is probably 50. So he goes home to Lancaster, and now he runs slash partner in Lancaster Speedway, another legendary upstate New York track, if you will. All right, so there you go. All right, because I knew, you know why I said that is because I knew Mick NASCAR was wondering, right? You were wondering, you know, who is this Tim Pacman guy, and why is the big dog having Tim Pacman on?
Big dog, you've been doing this for a long time. I kind of figured you had a method to something. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Larry Woody's a great friend as well. I've known Larry for 10 years. And we used to have a guy out of Charlotte, but he died, that did NASCAR with us. We used to have Tim Brewer, who was on NBC, and for some reason we don't have him anymore. I don't even know why. And then there was Pack. So that was kind of like my little NASCAR group of guys, if you will. But, you know, Pack is different. You know, Pack's consider him a personal friend. All right, let's grab a break. When we come back, let's get the lines open. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has officially announced his retirement. I know a lot of you are race fans. Do you feel like this is the day the music died? I mean, is this Buddy Holly or what? Is it over? I mean, this from Dale Earnhardt's death in 2001 to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s retirement in 2017, is this the bookend for you? Is this the end? I mean, there's been a steady decline especially the last 5 or 6 years. For the first 5 or 6 years after Earnhardt died, there was no problem, especially because Junior was running so well. But when you look at Dale Earnhardt's death to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s retirement, is NASCAR in trouble? Or are you like, it's no problem. We got Logano. We got Busch. We got Keselowski. We've got Chase Elliott. We've got Kyle Larson. We're good. Don't worry about it. All right, phone lines are open. 866-485-9867. Back with more after this. 730-1039
AM. WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Kidde. Smart, simple security. No disrespect to any of the remaining teams, but we may as well just give the Larry O'Brien trophy right now to Golden State, because they have never been so dominant or as motivated as they are right now. And that beatdown that they laid on Portland shows that they're better now than they've ever been. This is exactly what the Warriors envisioned and what the rest of the NBA was tripping so hard about when they added Kevin Durant. The team that you're seeing right now, because they knew this would happen, and they knew there'd be no beating these guys, because right now they do look unstoppable. If you're the best, deepest, and most motivated, you're not coming off the floor without that hardware. I would never say cancel the postseason after only one round, but go ahead and cancel the postseason after only one round because nobody is beating Golden State. I'm Jim Rome.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde's smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
The only guaranteed way to love your boss is to be your own boss. Well, when you drive with Uber, the only boss of you is you. Up early and eager to earn? Start driving. Have a couple hours to kill after your 9-to-5? Approved. Feel like making every day a payday? Go ahead. You can get paid right away with Uber's Instant Pay. Just turn on the app and get your side hustle on. So start driving with Uber today to be your own boss, boss. Visit uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now.
2 months.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor.
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m. all right here on the Roll Tide.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Got a paint project you haven't started? Now's the time to begin. The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at just $23.97. It's a paint and primer in one, so you're not covering the same wall over and over. You paint it, then move on to the next one. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now starting at just $23.97. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
I don't see myself really detaching from NASCAR. My intention is still to be involved in the sport on some level. In fact, I still have two Xfinity races to run for Junior Motorsports in 2018. So even after this season is over, you've not seen the last of me on the racetrack. But more than that, I want to be a part of the future of this sport for many, many years to come. Thank you very much.
All right, three things there. One, Junior announces that he's going to run two races already for Junior Motorsports, his team, in 2018 in the Xfinity Series. So go ahead and just sell those races out. All right. I mean, that just is going to be the whole focus will be juniors running. And so that's going to be a big deal. The second part is the thing that would be the music to NASCAR's ears is him saying, I want to be a part of this sport for years and years to come. So on what level and what way can Junior be a part of the sport in the most visible way possible to help the sport? The third thing there is, and it's the inside joke, and you don't, unless you're a NASCAR fan or an Earnhardt fan, you don't get the NASCAR, you don't get the inside joke here. But listen to the way he ends his press conference.
I don't see myself really detaching from NASCAR. My intention is still to be involved in the sport on some level. In fact, I still have two Xfinity races to run for Junior Motorsports in 2018. So even after this season is over, you've not seen the last of me on the racetrack. But more than that, I want to be a part of the future of this sport for many, many years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The only thing that Junior might love more than the Washington Redskins is Elvis Presley. He's got an old soul. I mean, he did that show back in the day. He's very much dialed in. I mean, look, he's 43 years old. He doesn't know from Elvis Presley. I mean, Elvis Presley died in 77. When was Junior born? 75? What's 43? Come on, McCalculator. What would be 43? He's 43 years old. So when was he born? 77, let's see, 77 would be 40 years. Has it been 40 years since Elvis died? Yeah.
74 he was born, I think.
74?
Yeah.
Elvis died in August of 77. I know this to be fact because I was coming off the field in between double sessions, and our manager said, hey, did you guys hear Elvis Presley died? And my first reaction was, are you kidding me? Elvis Presley died? And then I said, how old was he? And they said like 43, 44. And so my second reaction, check that. See how old Elvis was when he died. I think he was like 43, the age of Earnhardt. So my second reaction was, well, he was an old man. I was 17. I was 16. I was 16 years old. It was a month and a half before my 17th birthday when Elvis died, August of 77. Unless I just made that up. It was either August of 77 or August of 76 that Elvis died. Because I know I was coming off. The one thing I know for a fact is I was coming off the field in between double sessions at Bishop Kearney High School. I think it was my senior year, my rising senior year. So for him to go at the end of his press conference and say, thank you very much. I mean, that was a nod to Elvis. Don't tell me any different. That's just like the Saints getting Adrian Peterson and opening up the season on Monday Night Football against the Vikings. That was rigged. I mean, that whole thing was rigged. When did Elvis die?
Elvis died when he was 42. Earnhardt doesn't turn 43 until October.
And Elvis died when so Earnhardt and Elvis are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And when did Elvis die? August of 77?
77, yes.
What was the actual date? August what?
That's a good question. August 16th.
August 16th. It's one of those things. You just remember where you were. I remember when John Lennon died. I was watching Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football, 1980.
Hey, you got a better memory than me. I can't recall. You know, I can't remember where I was when Elvis passed.
Yeah, because your father was a child then.
My mom was 12 years old.
Your mom was 12.
No, I take that back. My dad was 12. My mom would have been
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Slow down here. Your dad was 12 when Elvis died? I was 16. Your dad was oh, my God.
My dad was born in 65. My mom was born in 69.
Shut up, okay? Shut up. Me and Plainsman Preston want you to shut up. And Wolverine Dan. And Danny T. We all want you to shut up.
Hey,
all of us 50-somethings, why don't you just stop it?
It's not my fault my mom had kids when she was young. I mean, I was her third, and she was like 23. I can't help that.
I had three when I was 20.
Ooh.
I had my fifth child. My wife and I had our fifth child when I was 28, she was 27. We had five when my wife was 27. Buggy says if this means we don't talk NASCAR ever again, then sure, this is the day that racing died. It's not nice, Buggy. All right, we'll be back. Tom Abraham Show.
7:30 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports. Atlanta Braves baseball is back with a fresh young team and a bright future that starts right now.
High fly to left field and deep. Retreating is Grossman at the wall. That ball is gone! Freddie Freeman with a two-run game-tying home run here in the third inning.
Tonight, the Braves' road swing continues with a big division showdown at Citi Field as the Braves take on the New York Mets. Braves Radio goes on the air at 5:55 on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
The good news is that if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, order from the Fast Break lunch menu, and don't get your food within 15 minutes, your lunch is free. The bad news is, we don't plan on taking longer than 15 minutes. Free lunches? Are you crazy? What kind of business model is that? Lunch fast or it's free. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
For a limited time only at participating locations. Valid for tables of six or less. Other restrictions apply. See a participating location for details.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free two-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April. It may vary by model. No charge for promotional two-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville. 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.